it will be of some relevance to management of irrigation. So what I'm going to present now is a new approach and following a software package for the design and to assist in design and scheduling of drip irrigation. When I mean design, I don't refer to the hydraulic of the system, to the diameters of the pipes and filters and so on, just to the distances between the emitters along the drip line and to the distance between the drip lines, the location of the plants relative to the emitters. For the scheduling, I mean the, how many pulses per day, irrigation frequency, if it's daily intervals. In sandy soils also, the starting hour of the irrigation is of importance, the duration of irrigation. Today I'm not going to say anything about the most important question of how much to irrigate daily. So we are proposing a new approach which is based on a criteria, a new criterion, which is the relative water uptake rate. The water uptake rate divided by the irrigation rate. This is for the design. And we assume that the plant is in good conditions, and there are no clouds in the sky. He has enough nitrogen. Plant end conditions are optimal, and he can apply maximum suction. And what we are calculating for is the capability of the soil to conduct water from the emitter to the plant root systems. So I will not bother you with the mathematics, but we are using steady flow and water uptake for design. We are referring to a soil which is homogeneous, isotropic, and has an exponential dependence on the capillary head, gardener soil, with the only parameter, only relevant parameter of this alpha. With this kind of expression, the flow equation can be linearized with the Kirchhoff transform. And as the flow problem now is linear, the all drip irrigated field can be represented just by the summation of the reactions of all the sources, the emitters, and all the sinks, the root zones. So this is what we have. On the soil surface, you see an emitter. How can I operate? You see the emitter on the soil surface. And here, this is a sink. Oops. This is a point sink representing the center of the root system, and we ask the following question. If 100% of the water are being emitted from the emitter on the soil surface, what is the percent of water to be uptaken by the sink in order to dry up to full dryness the bottom of the root zone? So we don't assume a priori what is the water uptake, but we compute it. So on left, you see, for example, the flow field. You have an emitter on the top left, and the center of a root system located at the depth of 25 centimeters. In this case, it's a medium texture soils. And for this scenario, the relative water uptake rate is 62%. You see the dashed lines, the streamlines leading from the emitter to the point sink. So in this case, 62% of the water go to the sink, and the rest, 38%, is deep percolation, no evaporation in this case. Of special importance is the thickened dashed line, which is the dividing streamline, dividing the soil volume to two regions. The inner volume, from which water are being uptaken, and the peripheral zone, from which the water are being deep percolated. Now, on the right side was this default soil, and on the left is a soil which is more coarse textured. While the previous soil had an alpha of 0.4, alpha is the relative importance of gravitational over capillary forces to drive water. It is large for sandy soil, small for clay soil, referred to its reciprocalized capillary rise. So while the previous soil had a capillary rise of 25 centimeters, on left, you see a very coarse sand with a capillarized of just 2.5 centimeters, let's say. So you see that the flow field is much more narrow, elongated downwards. And because of it, the relative water uptake reduced to just 52%. The numbers are the saturation degrees, the water saturation degrees, and you see they're also lower. Now the effect on saturation. on right the default case without saturation, and in left we plugged in a large parameter of potential evaporation. So now you can see three regions in the soil. You see a dividing line like before, this black dividing line dividing the water uptake from the deep percolation, and the other dividing line dividing the deep percolation from the evaporation. For this case, the evaporation is 43%, water uptake 40%, and the rest, 70%, is deep percolation. Mind, for example, that even though the volume from which water evaporates to the atmosphere is relatively shallow, relatively small, 43% of water do evaporate from that. So we wanted this model to be for practical purposes. It's not for science, not for publishing articles and so on. So we want it to be based on very minimal number of parameters which will be available to growers, to irrigators. So we characterize the soil just by this alpha, by the disruptive length. If you want the reciprocal of capillary rise, it's small for clay, it's large for sand. And for the other parameter is just the radius of the conceived rooting zone. We ask the farmer or the grower to draw a sphere out of which there are no active roots. We don't ask him where water will be at, where there are active roots. We solve the problem where there is uptake. Just to draw a schematic sphere out of which uptake is not possible. So what's the design? Design is not a single emitter and a single plant. We just put them together along a drip line or in an array of drip lines. We do it for on-surface emitter, we do it for subsurface emitter, and we get results. For example, this is a scenario of coupled emitters and the root system along a single drip line. And the nomogram you see is universal for all kinds of soils because what you see in the Y scale is the relative water uptake as a function of the non-dimensional radius of root system. And this different lines are the distances between the emitters or between the plants, the same in this scenario. So you see, as the distance between the emitter increase, the relative water uptake decrease, and as the radius of the root zone increase, the water uptake increase. Now we can do this thing, we can add another emitter in between the two plants. So for this scenario, when the roots are small, you see the relative water uptake is very small, because the roots cannot absorb much of this water. Most of them are just deep percolating. But when they grow, it's becoming, when the root develop, it's becoming similar to the previous scenario. And we can do the opposite. We can do this silly thing and put another plant in between without an emitter above the head of its root system. So now we have to distinguish, we have to run, we have to compute simultaneously two sets of equations for the two different kinds of plants. And what you see here on the top is the plant, which has its own emitter, and the other plant, which is distant from the neighboring emitter. So again, when the root systems are very small, you see big difference between the two plants. But when they increase, these differences close a bit. And we can do it for line sources and line sinks. When the emitters are closely spaced, it's like a line source, or you have a dripping tape. And if the plants are also closely planted, we represent it as a horizontal cylinder. The picture is quite the same, but the values are higher for this scenario of the relative water uptake rate. Now, just to give you one example that these computations are not totally out of realism. So, for example, we did this small experiment with just one row planted with bell pepper and irrigated with the zigzag mode from either both sides or just from one side. And after a while, you see this undulation pattern of the water, large peppers where the emitters are close and small ones where the emitters are far away. Now the plant roots, they don't stay underneath the stem. Of course, they move towards the emitter. Here, the plant was planted in this location and the emitter 60 centimeters apart. And after 75 days where we excavated, the roots moved about 35 or 40 centimeters to this location. So this is the kind of flow field if we compute, assuming the plants are not moving, just for demonstration. On left side, if the irrigation is from two sides, and on the right from one side. So you see, as the distance between the emitter to the plant is increasing, the relative water uptake is decreasing, and it's decreasing more for one-sided irrigation as compared to two-sided irrigation. Maybe you find it a bit weird. Look on this dividing streamline, this streamline from the emitter. If irrigated from one side, it goes all the way down, and then it comes back up. Difficult to believe, but according to our assumption of a plant that applies maximum suction, this is what happens. It goes down by capillary forces, but then it comes up. So what you see on left is computations made without assuming anything on the location of the roots, but assigning the actual location and radius of the root that we find by the excavation. And we did the computation of the relative water uptake rate. The red color markers are for one-side irrigation, and the blue colors for two-side irrigation. And on the right side, these are the dry weight of the canopy after 75 days. So I'm not saying it's a one-to-one prediction, but I think it's quite convincing that it grasped the trend of the falling relative water uptake rate as emitters becoming more as the distance between the emitter to the plant system increase. You also see this plateau, this independence on the distance with two sides, which is also predicted by this kind of simple computations. Now we also run a long-term irrigation, irrigated for example, with bell peppers, irrigating one plant row with one drip line, or two plant row with one drip line, or one drip line with two plant row. So what we usually get when we start the season, usually at the beginning, the plants irrigated on both sides. What happened to this? This plant row, you see, irrigated with two emitters is very small, while the one to the right, irrigated with just one drip line, is larger. But towards the end of the season, this two drip line irrigated treatment closed the gap, and even usually we end up with a few percent more yield and much less blossom end rot. I'm not going to get into these details. What happened is that when you irrigate with the two drip line, of course the root system splints to two, and you end up with a double root system. So just following our simple computations, if you irrigate with one drip line, you start with relatively high relative water uptake rate. And upon increase of the root size, you see a moderate increase. If you start with two drip line, you start with very low relative water uptake rates. But what happened is that the root system splits to two. So then you move to this red, evaluated line, which is for two drip line. And you see it's a bit higher than the one drip line. Now, this was for design. For the scheduling, we do a transient computation, taking into consideration the real timing of the irrigation, and assigning also some plant resistance, a diurnal pattern of plant resistance to water uptake, just a resistor in series, still a very primitive plant. And this result in this pattern, a diurnal pattern of transpiration. I will not have time to demonstrate too much of this scheduling. So I'll just show you some figures of the actual software. This is the main window. We have the model for the design, we have the model for the scheduling. I'll skip the design because I described it more or less. I'll give you just one example of scheduling. So we have to choose the frequency. So here we choose, for example, four irrigation pulses, daily ones. Each one of them is 1 hour long, starting 6 o'clock, ending 4 o'clock. And we start the simulation with a dry soil. So it takes a few days for the soil to get to its periodicity of the irrigation cycle. So this case, maybe 7 or 8 days. And then on the right, on the bottom on the right, you see our the output, which is the relative water uptake rate as function of time. Now, for the design, it was the relative water uptake rate, which is the design criteria. For the scheduling, it's transient. We cannot compare rates because it's only 1 hour irrigation and the plant is sleeping at night, taking the water in the day. So what we compare is volume, relative water uptake volume. The volume uptaken by the plant divided by the volume of irrigation. So in this example, the relative water uptake volume is very low, to 22%, if I can see it well. This is what we usually get, very low water uptake volume, just 25-30%. Unfortunately, when we measure in the field, we also get very small value. This is a measurement a master degree student, Shani Aroe, made with the heat pulse method, and she measured also just 25-30% relative volume uptakes, which my colleagues feel it difficult to accept, and I also have difficulty to explain this very low irrigation efficiencies. So I thank you for your attention. I'll just conclude with two statements. The first is that my flight is tomorrow 5 a.m. Until that time, I'm willing to demonstrate the operation of the software to all people. I'll hang around in the post-present session like I did yesterday. And the second is that this session has to do with soil sensing. And soil sensing and using this monitoring for controlling irrigation. Now, I don't have anything against sensing, but I just think people should consider more in addition to this sensing and responding to the condition in the field to do some a priori planning of the irrigation, considering the properties of the soil and maybe dimension of the root system. I thank you for your attention.